Welcome to ReadFlow Weekly. I'm your host. Sometimes the most profound questions are hidden in the most mundane places. This week, we're looking at the rules, the invisible frameworks that govern everything from the electrons in your processor to the policies that shape our economies. And we're starting with a fundamental constraint, one that programmers wrestle with in the silicon trenches, register scarcity. A fascinating experiment, detailed in a piece called Register Deprivation, compiled small kernels of code while progressively locking down the precious registers on a CPU. The result? Forcing scarcity reliably increased spills, those inefficient trips to slower memory, but the static count of those spills turned out to be a weak predictor of actual runtime. It's a beautiful, low-level reminder that even with perfect visibility into a system, predicting its behavior under constraint is an art. The rules of the machine are clear, but their consequences are wonderfully complex. And from the rules of silicon, we jump to the rules we're writing for silicon mines. Starting August 2nd, the European Union will mandate labels on authentic-looking AI-generated content. It's a new rule for a new reality, born from a concern that's not just about consumer protection, but, as one official put it, the protection of democracy itself. It's a direct attempt to govern the blurring line between what's real and what's synthesized. That line was drawn in ink this week, too, when a major publishing deal worth $2 million collapsed. An author's agency withdrew its support over concerns that AI was used in the work. It's a stark, high-stakes example of the creative and legal frontiers we're now navigating. We're making up the rules as we go, and the costs of getting it wrong, or even the perception of getting it wrong, are suddenly very real. This tension between control and consequence is our thread this week. It runs from the forced scarcity in a CPU register to the economic impact of tariffs, which one analysis suggests will cost each American household about $900 this year. It's in the celestial mechanics of a drifting SpaceX rocket, set for an accidental collision with the moon, a reminder that even our grandest projects operate under the unforgiving rules of orbital physics. So, that's where we begin. With the frameworks, visible and invisible, that shape our technology, our business, and our reality. From the bedrock of assembly language to the frontiers of AI and beyond. Welcome to ReadFlow Weekly for the week of July 25th through August 1st, 2026. Let's get started. Welcome back. As we teased in the open, this week is all about the rules, the frameworks, and the constraints that shape our world. We started down in the silicon, with the fundamental scarcity of CPU registers, and from there, the journey only gets wider. In our tech and AI segment, we'll see how that low-level constraint connects to a high-level creative one. We're looking at a new AI paradigm called explorative modeling, which proposes a third axis for training generative models. But as AI's creative power grows, so does the push to control it. We'll examine the EU's new mandate for labeling AI-generated content and the dramatic fallout from a major publishing deal that collapsed over AI's concerns. We'll also check in on the infrastructure making all this possible, from how companies like Spotify are indexing vast data lakes for AI agents, to the practical DevOps of securing cloud secrets. And we'll explore the tensions in open source, from AI-written code policies on platforms like Codeberg to the stalled evolution of key OpenBSD software and a significant resignation from the Arch Linux team. Our business beat brings the theme of control into the economic sphere. We have a detailed look at the tangible cost and historical parallels of new tariff policies, which one analysis suggests will cost each American household hundreds of dollars this year. We'll also see how traditional media is navigating this landscape, with ITV reporting steady growth and DirecTV securing a new deal to bring NFL Sunday Ticket to bars. And in science, the rules of physics and biology are being rewritten before our eyes. We're tracking a drifting SpaceX rocket on a collision course with the moon, and diving into new research showing that black holes may expel nearly as much as they consume. Closer to home, we're connecting the dots between sleep, obesity, and Alzheimer's risk, challenging a decades-old theory on childhood weight gain, and using AI to detect accelerated brain aging. Plus, we have discoveries that reshape human history itself, from a lost golden age of global languages to two new, ghost, ancestors hidden in our DNA. It's a packed episode, spanning from the registers in your processor to the rules of reality itself. Let's get into it. Welcome back. As we teased in the open, this week is all about the rules, the frameworks, and the constraints that shape our world. We started down in the silicon with the fundamental scarcity of CPU registers, and from there, the journey only gets wider. In our tech and AI segment, we'll see how that low-level constraint connects to a high-level creative one. We're looking at a new AI paradigm called explorative modeling, major new legal mandates from the European Union, and a $2 million book deal that just evaporated over AI concerns. We're also checking in on the infrastructure that makes all this intelligence possible, and the often fragile human systems that hold it all together. Let's get into it. Our first arc is about the mechanics of the machine itself, the rules written in silicon and assembly. We began the show talking about registers, those tiny, ultra-fast pieces of memory inside your CPU. A fascinating experiment this week, detailed in a piece called Register Deprivation, forced a compiler to pretend it had fewer registers available, then measured the performance impact. The finding was that while reserving registers reliably increased spills, where data gets dumped to slower memory, the static count of those spills was a weak predictor of the actual runtime hit. This is a beautiful, nerdy reminder that theoretical bottlenecks and real-world performance are different beasts. It speaks to the art of systems programming, where you're always negotiating with the hardware's inherent limitations. And if you want to truly understand those limitations, to speak the machine's language, you might turn to a new volume of The Art of 64-Bit Assembly. The pitch here is compelling. You can ask an AI to explain how a virtual function table works in C++, and it will give you an answer that sounds right. But what it won't give you, the book argues, is what Windows actually does, the specific, gritty implementation details that make software work in the real world. This is the deep craft, the knowledge that lives below the abstraction layers that AI currently swims in. It's a reminder that as we build higher and higher level tools, there remains immense value in understanding the foundational rules of the system. The register scarcity story and the assembly manual are two sides of the same coin. One explores the constraint, the other provides the map to navigate it. Which brings us to our second major arc, AI's rapidly evolving creative and legal frontiers. This week, researcher Alexei Gladstone introduced a concept called explorative modeling. The idea is to add a third axis to how we train generative models. We have the existing axes, like predicting the next token in a sequence. Explorative modeling adds a component that encourages the model to actively seek out and generate novel, high-quality patterns within the data space. The claim is this can unlock more controllable and creative end-to-end generation. It's a fascinating technical proposal, aiming to inject a more guided, curious agency into the training process itself. But as AI's creative potential expands, so does the societal push to define its boundaries. This week, the European Union moved from proposal to policy. Starting August 2nd, the EU will mandate that companies stick a label on content that was AI-generated if it is attempting to look authentic. An EU official framed it starkly, saying this is a matter not only of customer protection, but of democracy protection. This is a concrete, enforceable rule entering the world. It creates a new constraint for platforms and publishers, disclose or potentially face consequences. And the tension between AI creation and human authenticity isn't just regulatory, it's becoming a fierce cultural and commercial battleground. Consider this story. Macmillan's Minotaur Books signed a two-book, $2 million deal with an author named Jerry Falade. Then, his own literary agency, Europa Content, withdrew its support over concerns he had used AI in the work. The agency walked away from a major payday on principle. This isn't a theoretical debate about the future of art. This is a seven-figure deal collapsing in the present over the question of origin. It signals that in certain high-stakes creative industries, the use of AI isn't just a technical choice, it's a reputational and fiduciary risk. The rules of the game are being written in real time, through policy like the EU's labels and through dramatic, costly decisions like this withdrawn book deal. Our third arc is the infrastructure of intelligence, the often invisible systems that must perform reliably at massive scale. Take Spotify. They detailed their work on indexing the data lake for online point queries. Why does this matter? Because companies like Spotify need vast quantities of data accessible at low latency, not just for personalization features, but increasingly, for AI agents that are going to act on behalf of users. An agent can't spend minutes searching for your favorite playlist or your listening history. The data layer has to be fast and robust. This is the unglamorous backbone of the AI experience, colossal, well-organized data, ready to be queried in milliseconds. And that infrastructure must be secure. Another piece this week offered a pragmatic guide to securing AWS secrets with Terraform using a least privilege model. It starts with a common, troubling scenario. You're handed access to an AWS account with a role that has broad, baked-in permissions you didn't create and can't edit. The guide walks through how to carve out minimal, precise access for your Terraform operations. This is the gritty reality of modern tech stacks. Before you can deploy a brilliant AI model, you have to securely manage the secrets that allow your infrastructure to talk to each other, following the principle of least privilege. It's a foundational rule for safety in a connected system. Which leads us to our fourth theme, the tension and fragility within open source and developer ecosystems. This week, a key Arch Linux developer resigned from his roles as a package maintainer and developer after nearly a decade. In his resignation note, he cited a slow, grinding stress and a need to reclaim his health and happiness. This isn't a story about a technical failure. It's a story about the human infrastructure that critical digital systems rely on. Arch Linux is a cornerstone of the Linux world, and its stability depends on the voluntary, often thankless labor of individuals. When one burns out, it's a tremor in the foundation. We saw a different kind of stagnation in the OpenBSD world, where the evolution of two core tools, --relayed--and --httpd-, has essentially stalled. Many contributions are proposed, but few are committed. The reason, as analyzed this week, appears to be a lack of a maintainer with both the deep institutional knowledge and the time to shepherd the projects. Meanwhile, on the platform side, an article declared that GitHub has alternatives, but no true replacement. It highlighted a decision by Codeberg, a Git hosting platform, to prohibit projects that mostly consist of generative AI written code. This has sparked extensive debate. These stories together paint a picture of communities at a crossroads. They are grappling with maintenance burdens, platform dependency, and now, the fundamental question of what constitutes a contribution worthy of their ecosystem when AI can generate code. The rules of engagement for open source are being stress-tested. Finally, let's talk about the user experience of AI, which is increasingly an experience of opaque costs and commercial scaling. A user on the Cursor AI forum posted in frustration this week. The Cursor usage window, which they relied on to track daily spending, had suddenly switched from displaying dollar amounts to showing token counts. The user's question was simple. Usage page $$ to token amount. What? This opacity matters. When developers or companies are budgeting for AI tools, not knowing the real-time cost in dollars, but in abstract tokens, makes financial planning and control much harder. It's a small interface change that speaks to a larger issue, the black box nature of AI pricing. Contrast that with the clear commercial success on the consumer side. Estimates from Sensor Tower indicate that the number of advertisers on ChatGPT grew from around 300 in April to more than 820 in July. Retail shopping remains the biggest sector by ad spend. This is explosive growth. It shows that for all the debates about AI's creative soul and its infrastructure, there is a massive and rapidly scaling business apparatus building up around it. Advertisers are voting with their budgets, and they see the audience and engagement on these platforms as a major opportunity. The rule here is simple. Where attention goes, advertising dollars will follow. So, to recap our tech and AI landscape this week. We moved from the fundamental constraints of CPU registers to the proposed creative liberation of explorative modeling. We saw hard rules arrive from the EU with AI labeling mandates, and soft power exerted in the collapse of a major book deal over AI use. We peered into the critical data and security infrastructure that makes agency AI possible. We felt the human strain and philosophical debates within open source communities. And we observed the friction between opaque AI pricing for developers and the crystal clear advertiser boom on consumer AI platforms. It's a world building itself at every level, from the silicon up, with new rules emerging by the day. The only constant is the negotiation between constraint and possibility. Welcome back to ReadFlow Weekly. We've been talking about rules and constraints, from the silicon up. Now we're moving from the rules of the machine to the rules of the market. This is the business segment, where policy meets pocketbook, and where the frameworks we build for commerce have very real, and often very expensive, consequences. Let's start with a direct cost, one that's about to land in the household budget. New analysis suggests that the latest round of tariffs enacted by the Trump administration will cost the average American household about $900 this year. That's according to a report from Reason magazine, which tallies up the recent duties on everything from imports accused of using forced labor to a broad 50% levy on certain goods. The argument for tariffs is always about protection, shielding domestic industries from foreign competition. But the cost is diffuse, passed on to consumers through higher prices, and it acts as a kind of regressive tax, hitting lower-income families the hardest. It's a classic economic constraint, a rule imposed on trade that has a very calculable price tag. You can find that analysis in our story on the household cost of tariffs. And this policy choice comes with its own historical debate. President Trump has argued that high tariffs could have, in the past, prevented economic calamities like the Great Depression. But history, as they say, says different. The Associated Press revisited the infamous Smoot-Hawley Tariff Act of 1930, which dramatically raised U.S. duties on thousands of imports. Economists widely agree it didn't cause the Great Depression, but it almost certainly deepened and prolonged it by stifling global trade. It's a poignant reminder that the rules we set for economic engagement aren't just theoretical. They have a track record. The belief that walls foster strength is periodically tested, and the historical ledger suggests the opposite is often true. It's a fascinating parallel, and you can explore that historical counterpoint in our coverage. While policy sets the broad stage, companies are navigating their own sets of rules, particularly in the evolving media landscape. Take ITV, the British broadcaster. In a market where traditional TV is supposedly in freefall, ITV just reported first-half revenue up 2% year-over-year to £1.9 billion. The key detail? Advertising revenue was up 3%, with digital ad revenue soaring 13%. This isn't a story of explosive growth, but of steady, managed adaptation. They're playing by the new rules of digital engagement and making it work. It's a measured move in a sector that often feels chaotic. And speaking of navigating new rules for old content, DirecTV has just struck a multi-year deal with Everpass. This lets bar owners show the NFL Sunday Ticket package via satellite or streaming, with DirecTV becoming Everpass's main sales partner. It's a clever workaround in the post-exclusive era, finding a lucrative niche, commercial viewing, for a prized sports property. It shows that even as distribution rules fragment, the value of live sports, and the communal experience around it, creates its own durable market logic. Now, let's tie this back to our overarching theme of AI, which is busy writing its own rulebook for the creative economy. We saw a stark example this week in publishing. Macmillan's Minotaur Books had signed a two-book, $2 million deal with an author named Jerry Falade. Then, his own agency, Europa Content, withdrew its support over concerns he had used AI in the process. The deal collapsed. This isn't just about detection or labeling. It's about the fundamental rules of trust and provenance in creative work. When an agency abandons a seven-figure deal on principle, it signals that the industry is grappling with a new constraint, the need for a verifiable human creative process. It's a business risk now. You can read more about that publishing deal undone by AI concerns. Contrast that with the booming commercial side of AI. Estimates from Sensor Tower show the number of advertisers on ChatGPT grew from around 300 in April to more than 820 in July. Retail shopping remains the biggest sector by ad spend. The rule here is simple: where the attention goes, the money follows. As AI interfaces become daily destinations for millions, they naturally become marketplaces. The constraint isn't technological anymore. It's about creating an advertising model that feels native to a conversational, agent-driven world. The businesses are betting they can figure that out. So, what's the throttle? From tariffs to TV deals to AI-authored books, we're watching different actors impose, test, and adapt to rules. Governments set trade constraints with economic fallout. Industries like media and publishing establish new norms around distribution and authenticity. And the market itself rapidly writes rules for monetizing new technologies like AI. These frameworks are never neutral. They create winners and losers, add costs, open opportunities, and define what's possible. They are, in the end, the operating system for our collective economic life. And this week, we're watching that system get a very active set of updates. Welcome back to ReadFlow Weekly. We've been talking about rules and constraints, from the silicon in our computers to the policies shaping our markets. Now, let's take that theme to its grandest scale, the rules of reality itself. This is the science segment, where we look at the fundamental laws of physics, biology, and history, and sometimes, where we watch what happens when those rules get broken. We're going from the cosmic to the microscopic, starting with a celestial traffic accident that's been years in the making. On August 5th, a piece of human technology is scheduled to make an unplanned introduction to the lunar surface. It's the upper stage of a SpaceX Falcon 9 rocket, launched back in January 2025 for the Firefly Blue Ghost 1 mission. After completing its job, this booster was left adrift, and the complex gravitational dance of the Earth-Moon system has been slowly pulling it toward a final, high-speed rendezvous with the Moon. Now, this isn't a mission. There's no science payload aimed at an impact crater. This is space debris, following the cold, predictable rules of orbital mechanics to a destructive conclusion. It's a stark reminder that even in the vastness of space, what goes up doesn't always come down where you expect, and our celestial neighborhood is getting just a little bit more crowded with our leftovers. Speaking of cosmic rules being bent, let's talk about black holes, the ultimate rule breakers. We think of them as the universe's vacuum cleaners, sucking in everything that crosses the event horizon. But new research led by the University of Warwick suggests they might be more like messy eaters with a cosmic case of reflux. Observations indicate that even when a black hole appears relatively quiet or faint, it can still be actively expelling huge amounts of matter and energy. The analogy scientists are using is a kind of cosmic digestive system. It seems these gravitational monsters may spit out nearly as much as they swallow, in the form of powerful jets and outflows. This changes the picture from a one-way street into a complex, dynamic environment, where the black hole is as much an engine of creation and redistribution as it is an endpoint of destruction. Now, let's bring our gaze a little closer to home, to the red sands of Mars. There, NASA's Curiosity rover has rolled into a landscape that looks utterly alien, even for Mars. In a valley nicknamed Val Grande, the ground is covered in a mysterious honeycomb pattern. These are polygonal fractures, each cell spanning several feet across. On Earth, similar patterns form in drying mud or permafrost, caused by repeated cycles of wetting and drying or freezing and thawing. Finding them on Mars is a tantalizing clue. It strongly suggests that this area underwent repeated, cyclical environmental changes. It's a landscape that remembers, its very texture a record of a time when Mars wasn't the dry, static world we see today, but a place with a dynamic, possibly watery, climate. It's a geological whisper about a planet that once played by very different rules. From the rules of planetary geology to the rules of human evolution, we have a fascinating story about our own family tree. We already know that many of us carry genetic legacies from ancient human relatives like Neanderthals and Denisovans. But a new discovery adds more mysterious branches. Scientists have found traces of DNA from two previously unknown human ancestors, ghost populations that left no fossil record, only their genetic signature woven into modern human genomes. This reinforces a modern view of human evolution not as a straight, proud line, but as a messy, intertwined braid. Our ancestors met, mingled, and mixed with other kinds of humans, and those encounters shaped who we are today. It rewrites the rulebook on human history, suggesting our story was one of connection far more often than isolation. And finally, let's talk about the rules governing our own health, where long-held theories are being challenged. For over four decades, a concept called the adiposity rebound has been a cornerstone of childhood obesity research. The idea was that a child's body mass index naturally declines after infancy, then hits a low point around age 6 before climbing again into adolescence. That low point was the rebound, and an early rebound was thought to predict later obesity. But new findings are challenging that 42-year-old theory. The research suggests the pattern might not be a distinct biological rebound phase at all, but rather a continuous, complex trajectory influenced by a multitude of factors from the very start of life. It's a powerful example of how science progresses. We establish a rule, a model, a theory that explains the data we have. And then, with better tools and more nuanced questions, we discover that reality is more complicated, and we must be willing to rewrite the rules to get closer to the truth. That truth-seeking takes us from the honeycomb plains of Mars to the ghostly echoes in our DNA, from black holes that defy simple consumption to childhood health patterns that are more complex than we knew. It's all a reminder that understanding the rules is just the beginning. The real wonder starts when we see how those rules interact, bend, and sometimes, beautifully, break. The thread continues after this. Welcome back to ReadFlow Weekly. We've taken quite a journey this week, from the constrained registers inside a CPU to the constrained orbits of celestial bodies. We've seen rules imposed on AI content and rules imposed on global trade. It's been a week about frameworks, boundaries, and the often unexpected consequences of operating within them, or pushing against them. And that brings us to our thread, the theme tying it all together: control and its consequences. It starts with the most fundamental layer of control we deal with in tech: physical limits. Our first story was a beautiful, nerdy experiment in register deprivation. When you artificially limit the number of CPU registers available to a compiler, performance suffers in unpredictable ways. It's a stark reminder that our sleek software is always negotiating with the hard, finite reality of silicon. We impose a constraint, and the system finds a way to cope, often with a cost. This isn't just a hardware curiosity. It's a metaphor. We see it again in the business of AI, where companies are imposing new constraints on how their tools are used. A major publisher offers a $2 million book deal, only to see it collapse because the author's own agency withdrew, concerned about the use of AI. That's a financial and creative consequence stemming from a new rule in the publishing ecosystem. Who controls the creative process, and what are the costs of that control? This dance between control and consequence scales all the way up to geopolitics and economics. This week, we got a very clear price tag for a specific policy of control. New analysis suggests Trump's tariffs will cost each American household about $900 this year. That's a direct, measurable consequence of a decision to control trade flows. Proponents argue it's for a greater good, protecting domestic industries. Opponents point to history, showing how similar controls can cascade into broader economic pain. It's a macro version of our CPU problem. Impose a constraint on the system, and the cost spills out somewhere, often in ways that are hard to perfectly predict. And then, we look to the science, where we see the ultimate rule set, the laws of physics. Here, the consequences of control, or the lack thereof, are literally cosmic. Consider the drifting SpaceX rocket stage, a human-made object now entirely under the control of orbital mechanics, set for an accidental impact with the moon. We intended to control its trajectory, but that control ended. Now, gravity is in charge. Conversely, look at black holes, the universe's ultimate control freaks. Or so we thought. New research suggests some black holes may expel nearly as much matter as they consume. Even the most dominant force in a galaxy has its limits. Its control is not absolute. There's a feedback loop, an expulsion, a consequence. So what's the through line? Whether it's a compiler spilling data from a scarce register, an economy absorbing the cost of a tariff, an agency withdrawing from a lucrative deal over AI ethics, or a rocket succumbing to gravity, we are constantly observing the same principle. Every act of control, whether it's a design constraint, a market intervention, a content policy, or a launch trajectory, sets off a chain of events. The consequence might be a performance penalty, a higher grocery bill, a cultural controversy, or a new crater on the moon. This week's stories remind us that our world, from the silicon up, is a complex system of negotiated constraints. The real skill, in engineering, in policy, and in understanding our universe, lies not just in applying control, but in anticipating what flows from it. The consequence is always part of the deal. And finally, a lighter note to close out the show. After all our talk of rules, from CPU registers to EU mandates, let's end with the most fundamental rules of all, the ones that shape every sentence you hear and read. I'm talking about punctuation. And there is a wonderfully charming manual making the rounds this week that serves as both a history and a style guide for those tiny dots and squiggles we take for granted. It's called, quite simply, Manual. And it delves into the origins of the comma, which comes from a Greek word meaning a piece cut off, and the surprisingly complex world of dots. It turns out the humble period has cousins, like the interpunct used for multiplication and the bullet point, each with its own typographical rules and spacing needs. It's a reminder that even in our digital age, these ancient marks carry the weight of clarity and rhythm. So the next time you pause for a comma or end a thought with a period, you're participating in a system that's evolved over millennia. It's the original code for human thought, and unlike some of the AI systems we discussed earlier, its operating costs are delightfully low. That's it for ReadFlow Weekly. Our theme music is by Tech Talk. I'm your host. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week. And that brings us to the end of another ReadFlow Weekly. From the constrained registers of a CPU to the unconstrained mysteries of ancient human DNA, it's been a week that reminds us how the rules of the game, whether written in silicon, policy, or physics, shape everything that follows. A huge thank you for listening. If a story piqued your curiosity, like the mechanics of register deprivation or the discovery of ghost ancestors in our DNA, you can dive deeper on ReadFlow. Save articles for later, follow your favorite topics, and build your own understanding of this fast-moving world. We'll be back next Saturday with another edition. Until then, keep reading, keep saving, and we'll see you right here.